So if you're out house hunting right now, you probably heard the good news, right?
Oh, definitely. Everyone's talking about how inventory is finally rising.
Right, like more homes are hitting the market. And naturally, you're expecting this kind of clearance sale.
Yeah, you think the power dynamic has totally shifted in your favor.
Exactly. You're walking up to the front door, assuming you hold all the cards now, but instead it's like you're walking into this really high-end boutique.
Oh, I love this analogy.
Right. And the only things on the discount rack are, the dusty, weirdly shaped items in the very back corner.
Yeah, the stuff nobody actually wants.
Exactly. And everything else, the good stuff, is still completely full price.
It is an incredibly frustrating environment, especially for anyone who's operating on those outdated assumptions.
Totally.
Because, we have this collective expectation burned into our brains from like economics 101.
Right, the old supply and demand thing.
Exactly. The idea that when supply goes up, prices automatically come down, we assume buyers suddenly get to just dictate all the terms.
But that's not happening at all.
No, not even a little. The reality on the ground is completely defying that textbook theory right now.
So, to figure out why this is happening, today's deep dive is pulling directly from the latest Home Acquire Market Pulse article.
Which is such a good read this month.
It really is. And just to note, their data is powered by Redfin. And we're looking specifically at the Chicago metro area as of mid-May 2026.
Right. Chicago is our laboratory today.
Exactly. Our mission is basically to figure out why this rising supply isn't actually saving buyers any money. We're using Chicago as a real-time case study for what's unfolding all across the country right now.
Because the data shows this massive contradiction perfectly. Supply is increasing, yet those easy discounts that buyers were banking on, they just simply do not exist.
Right. So let's get into it. What is actually going on here?
Well, we're witnessing the emergence of what I like to call a filter market.
A filter market. Okay, explain that.
So a market doesn't just, magically flip from a seller's market to a buyer's market overnight just because a few more for sale signs pop up on the lawns.
Right. It's not a light switch.
Exactly. Instead, the market is ruthlessly sorting all these new listings into two very distinct buckets.
Okay.
On one side, you have the pristine, clean, well-priced homes, and crucially, they are supported by strong comparable sales.
The comps.
Right, the comps. Those homes pass through this filter effortlessly, like they just fly off the shelves and generate an incredible amount of urgency.
And the macro numbers backing up that urgency are honestly wild right now.
Oh, they're staggering.
Like the median sale price in Chicago right now is about $389,000.
Which is actually up 5% year over year.
Right, up 5%. And homes are closing at about 101% of the list price.
And taking around 48 days to sell, yeah.
Yeah. But here's the stat that I think completely shatters the whole buyer's market illusion.
Lay it on me.
43% of homes are still selling above the original list price.
43%.
Almost half.
I know. And look, those numbers represent closed sale prices, right? Which is really the ultimate lie detector in real estate.
Because it's actual money changing hands.
Exactly. It's the pricing evidence that buyers are actively validating with their own wallets, and it perfectly illustrates that first bucket of the filter market.
The pristine homes.
Right. But the second bucket, that is where the pain happens.
Yeah.
This is where the overpriced, poorly prepared, or highly aspirational listings get caught in the filter.
Right, because in the past, a rising tide lifted all boats.
Oh, totally. A few years ago, you could have a listing with terrible lighting, zero staging, a ridiculous asking price.
And it would still trigger a bidding war.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But not anymore. Those overpriced homes are being aggressively punished right now.
They really are.
They have to earn every single offer. And honestly, often they just sit there gathering dust.
Okay, but I have to challenge this idea that buyers actually have leverage here.
Okay, let's hear it.
Because if 43% of homes are selling above list price and the average transaction is closing at 101% of the asking price,
Right.
I mean, it really sounds like sellers still hold all the cards.
Yeah.
To go back to that boutique analogy from earlier, it sounds more like a strict bouncer at an exclusive club.
Oh, I see where you're going.
Right. Like if you're a clean, well-priced listing, you get the VIP treatment, you walk right past the velvet rope.
Yeah.
But if you're an overpriced listing, you're just left standing out in the cold.
Exactly.
But how does the seller standing in the cold translate to actual leverage for the buyer? I mean, the buyer still isn't getting a discount on the good stuff, right?
That's a great point. But the leverage comes entirely from how buyers are behaving at that velvet rope.
Okay, how so?
Think about a pure seller's market, Buyers are desperate. They try to brag the bouncer. They stand out in the cold for hours. They waive all their inspections.
They basically compromise on everything just to get a foot in the door.
Exactly. But today, the buyer is simply looking at the bouncer and saying, look, if you aren't letting me in the VIP door right now, I'm just going home.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Buyers are flat out refusing to validate that aspirational pricing anymore. They have a ceiling.
And that ceiling is defined by those closed comps.
Strictly defined by them. If a seller prices even slightly above that hard evidence, buyers just scroll past the listing on their phones.
They don't even bother touring it.
Exactly. The buyer's room to breathe exists in their newfound willingness to just walk away from a bad deal. It's the power of the no.
Ah, the power of walking away. So they aren't getting a discount on the premium stuff, but they are absolutely refusing to overpay for the mediocre stuff.
Precisely.
And because sellers are being punished so severely for testing those limits, it completely shifts the strategy you need to use, right?
Oh, the margin for error is razor thin right now.
Yeah, like when a seller misses the mark and actually has to do a price cut, the average reduction in Chicago is about 4.3%.
That is a massive haircut.
It really is, just to get buyers to even look at the property again.
It's a devastating penalty. And what's really crucial to note here is that only 9% of active listings actually have price cuts right now.
Wow, only 9%?
Yeah, which is actually down from 10% last year.
So sellers are getting the memo.
They are. Furthermore, fewer failed listings are even coming back on the market. Like, relistings are down to just 1.8% week over week.
It's so low.
It is. Sellers are learning, sometimes the hard way, that they have to be realistic right out of the gate.
And we've tracked this specific psychology in our recent deep dives, right? This persistent temptation for a seller to test the market with an inflated asking price.
Always. Let's just see if a desperate buyer bites.
Right. But the math on why that is so dangerous right now is just undeniable. Like, waiting too long to cut an inflated price basically makes you a cautionary tale.
Yep.
Let's do the math. If you're selling a $400,000 home and you overprice it just because you're feeling lucky.
Bad idea.
Taking that average 4.3% penalty just to get back in the game, that is a $17,000 mistake.
17 grand.
That is an incredibly steep price for just testing the waters.
It really is. So the playbook for sellers absolutely requires launching at a number the comps can actually defend, not some number you just hope the market will blindly forgive.
Right. Credibility is doing all the heavy lifting here.
Exactly. If a seller prices accurately, they earn early showings. They get those early offers, which allows them to lean into that momentum.
A clean launch.
A clean launch protects their final sale price. And honestly, just as importantly, it protects their terms.
Like closing dates, rent backs, inspection contingencies, all that stuff.
Exactly. If traffic is quiet in those first 2 weeks, the seller has to move quickly before the listing goes entirely stale.
And because that $17,000 penalty is so severe, the entire leverage dynamic shifts for the buyer, depending on exactly when they show up.
Right. Timing is everything.
If you walk into an open house on day one for a pristine property, your strategy has to be entirely different than if you're touring a place that's been sitting untouched for 6 weeks.
Completely different. Buyers have to chase value, not hype.
I like that. Chase value, not hype.
Right. Before you even walk through the front door, before you let all that professional staging manipulate your emotions, you need to set a strict ceiling based on the closed comps.
Don't look at the boldest active asking price down the street.
No, look at what actually sold. And when you find a home that is clean, well-priced, and supported by those comps, you have to move incredibly fast.
No time to sleep on it.
None. You cannot assume you have the luxury of negotiating. The first credible offer might need to be your absolute strongest offer.
Which is exactly why we're seeing that 101% average sale-to-list ratio.
Exactly. That's the premium for perfection.
But then, the flip side of that buyer playbook is basically weaponizing time.
Yeah, right? Yes. Weaponizing time is my favorite concept here.
Like, if a home sits past its early traffic window, say it's been on the market for 30 or 40 days, you cannot assume that seller has the same swagger as the person who listed yesterday morning.
Oh, their swagger is completely gone.
Right. The seller is probably staring down the barrel of that 4.3% price cut.
Yeah.
And that is when you step in. That's when you ask for the price cuts, the closing credits, maybe the roof repairs, or just better terms in general.
You let the stale listings come to you, and you negotiate aggressively when they do.
But, you know, this broad baseline behavior totally fractures when you zoom in on the map.
Oh, completely.
Because talking about an average across a massive, sprawling metro area like Chicago is almost dangerous.
Because averages lie.
Averages lie. The strategy shifts so drastically depending on the specific suburb or even the specific neighborhood.
Which really highlights the absolute danger of watching, like, national financial news to inform your local real estate decisions.
Oh, definitely. The cable news ticker might say, housing market cooling.
Right.
But if you walk into a specific neighborhood with that headline dictating your behavior,
yeah,
you're going to get crushed.
You will get steamrolled. You really have to trade the binoculars for a microscope here.
Well said. And the Home Acquire article breaks down these micro markets perfectly. Let's look at Evanston, for example.
Take Evanston.
The median price there is $427,000. It has 101% sale-to-list ratio and a really fast 40-day median pace.
Right, so that is a highly competitive, firmer market.
Yeah. But then you look at Schaumburg.
Schaumburg is fascinating.
It really is. It's also firmer, but it operates at a totally different price point. The median price is $305,000.
Which makes it a much more accessible affordability pocket.
Right. And because of that, the competition is incredibly tight. Like a staggering 44% of sales in Schaumburg are closing above the original list price.
44%. So in areas like Evanston and Schaumburg, the buyer playbook is pure speed.
You're in a high-velocity environment, and you just need to sprint.
Exactly. But, and here's where it gets interesting. Drive just 15 or 20 minutes away to Cicero, and the entire landscape changes.
It's like a different state.
It really is. Cicero is classified in the data as softer. The median price is $310,000, so very similar to Schaumburg.
Right, almost the exact same price.
But the sale-to-list ratio drops to 99.4%, and the median pace slows way down to 61 days.
61 days, that's a huge difference.
Meanwhile, Chicago proper sits right in the middle as the baseline. It's got a $409,000 median and 100.4% sale-to-list ratio.
So competition still exists on the clean listings there, but it's not the absolute frenzy you see in Schaumburg.
Exactly. So if we connect this back to your strategy as a buyer, days on market essentially becomes your real-time leverage thermometer.
A leverage thermometer. I love that.
When you zero in on a specific zip code, you have to track the median days on market for recent sales. If that number is in the 30s or low 40s, sellers know homes are moving.
They feel confident.
Right. They are far less likely to entertain a lowball offer or agree to, you know, replace a water heater.
But if that days on market thermometer is stretching into the 60s, like in Cicero,
then the psychology of the seller fundamentally breaks down.
Yeah, because a seller whose home has been sitting for 2 months is dealing with carrying costs, they've got anxiety, and a shrinking pool of interested buyers.
And every single weekend, they have to keep the house perfectly clean for an open house that literally nobody attends.
The worst.
It is. So that thermometer tells you that you are now dealing with a highly motivated seller. That is when your agent pulls the comps to justify a lower offer, and you ask for, say, a $5,000 credit toward closing costs.
So the local speed limit completely dictates your negotiation tactics.
Perfectly said.
Okay, so the micromarket data tells us how to act in specific neighborhoods. But we have to look under the hood to really understand the core mechanic driving this entire ecosystem.
Right? Yes, we have to get to the why.
Because earlier, we established this central mystery. Supply is going up, but prices aren't dropping.
Right.
To understand that collision of fresh supply and buyer demand, we have to look at the absorption rate.
Also known as months of supply.
Right. Let's break down the absorption rate for everyone, because this concept is really the master key to understanding the current housing market.
It really is.
Think of the absorption rate like a bathtub. Okay. The water pouring out of the faucet represents new inventory fresh listings hitting the market.
Okay, I'm with you.
The drain at the bottom of the tub represents buyer demand homes going under contract and closing.
Right.
So months of supply simply tells us how long it would take to drain all the water currently in the tub if we completely turned off the faucet.
That's a great visual. And the data from mid-May provides a massive revelation when you actually view it through that bathtub lens.
What did the numbers show?
Well, week over week, active listings rose 2% to over 26,000 homes.
Okay.
And new listings coming onto the market rose 3%.
So the faucet is absolutely turning on.
It is turning on. Objectively, there is more inventory pouring into the tub. There are literally more homes for buyers to tour on a Sunday afternoon.
Yet despite that influx of new water, the overall months of supply actually ticked down slightly.
Right, down to 3.9 months.
So the tub is not filling up.
No, it's not. And the reason the tub isn't filling up is that the drain got significantly wider.
Ah, the demand side.
Exactly. Year over year, pending sales, meaning homes officially going under contract, are up a massive 17%.
17%?
Yeah. That represents nearly 8,200 homes being sucked right out of the market. And closed sales are up 4%.
Wow.
Meanwhile, active inventory is basically flat compared to last year.
So the underlying balance tightened, even as inventory rose, simply because demand is aggressively absorbing those new listings the second they appear.
That's exactly it. More choice showed up, but a looser market did not.
Right. Buyers are seeing the news headlines screaming about rising inventory, and they're just assuming leverage is shifting.
But the data shows us clearly that added inventory does not automatically become buyer leverage if demand is just waiting in the wings to absorb it immediately.
You know, it feels exactly like running on a treadmill.
Oh, that's a good way to look at it.
Like the inventory is the belt.
Yeah.
And the belt is speeding up right now. Mm-hmm. More houses are coming down the line, giving you more things to look at as you run.
Right.
But buyer demand is running just as fast, keeping perfect pace with the belt. You have more homes passing by your vision, but because they are being snatched up instantly, your actual cumulative supply level stays completely flat at 3.9 months.
Yes. You are running faster just to stay in the exact same place. And if the belt speeds up but the buyers keep pace, the runner gets exhausted, but their actual location in the room hasn't changed an inch.
Such a frustrating feeling.
It really is. But this dynamic raises a fascinating point about the resilience of the American home buyer right now.
How so?
Well, we spent the last 2 years discussing interest rates, affordability challenges, inflation, all these headwinds. But the actual desire for home ownership, or the life events that force a move, they never actually vanished.
Right. People still got married. People still had kids.
Exactly. People still relocated for jobs and people still retired. They just delayed the actual real estate transaction because the market was too chaotic or rates spiked too quickly.
So you have, what, 2 solid years of pent-up life events just sitting there?
Just sitting there. And now that sellers are finally putting a few more homes on the market, those delayed buyers just can't wait any longer. They are pouncing.
But they are highly selective, as we discussed with the filter effect earlier.
Highly selective. They refuse to buy the dusty items at the back of the boutique. But they are incredibly active when a good product appears. They are converting strong contract activity into completed sales, which is what's driving that 17% jump in pending transactions.
So the market has basically found a very tense equilibrium.
Very tense. Buyers are refusing to overpay for junk, which keeps prices from spiraling out of control.
But they are absolutely willing to pay top dollar for a clean comp, which keeps prices from crashing.
Exactly. It is a market defined by discipline rather than desperation.
Discipline over desperation. I like that. And that discipline is perfectly reflected in that 3.9 months of supply figure.
Right. And just for context, a balanced market where neither buyers nor sellers have a distinct advantage is generally considered to be around 4 to 6 months of supply.
Okay, so sitting at 3.9, the market still leans slightly toward the seller.
Slightly, yes. But it is a highly conditional advantage. A seller only gets to wield that advantage if their product is flawless.
Got it. So the bottom line for you navigating this environment is that added supply does not automatically equal buyer leverage.
It does not. You must watch the months of supply metric in your specific target area.
Because extra listings only change the game in your favor if they stop getting absorbed by that treadmill.
Right. If the homes start piling up, then you get to ask for discounts. If they keep getting snatched up, you need to have your pre-approval ready, set your ceiling, and move decisively.
Pay close attention to those sale-to-list ratios in your neighborhood, too. Like, if you start seeing that number slip below 100%, that is your early warning sign that leverage is shifting and buyers are gaining room to ask for concessions.
But until then, sellers who price perfectly to the comps can still defend their terms and demand a premium.
Yeah. The data tells us exactly where the market is suspended today, but it really is a precarious balance.
It really is.
And that balance brings up one final provocative thought to leave you with today.
Let's hear it.
Right now, demand is swallowing up every new listing, keeping the market perfectly suspended at that 3.9 months of supply. The treadmill is perfectly matched to the runner.
For now, yeah.
Right. But pending sales are already up 17% from last year just to maintain this delicate equilibrium.
Right.
So what happens if buyer demand surges just a little bit more? Or, conversely, what if that fresh supply pipeline from sellers suddenly clogs up again?
That is the big question.
It is, because that velvet rope at the filter market,
it
might just turn into a solid brick wall.
That's a scary thought.
It is. Keep a close eye on your own local metrics. And remember that just because there are more items on the rack doesn't mean the boutique is having a clearance sale.
Avoid the dusty items unless you're ready to haggle.
Exactly. And be ready to move fast for the good stuff. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.